Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that school bell, you know that's what that is. A lady said to me at a restaurant not too long ago, "I listened for that dinner bell." Well, I suppose it does sound like a dinner bell. And I guess you could think of it as a dinner bell in that we're about to partake of a spiritual feast. But I'm trying to use that as a school bell. We're studying the Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam, and he was a great educator and a great Sunday school teacher. And so I like to think of going to school and listening to him teach us from these lessons. And I'm reading Sunday school lessons he wrote for the churches to use back in 1922. And this particular lesson is for the lesson of Sunday, December 10th, 1922. And it's the story of the Good Samaritan. It is found in Luke chapter 10. And I invite you at this time to get your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. And we'll begin reading in just a moment in verse 30. And we'll read again that parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, as you're getting your Bible and turning to that passage, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. You're easy to find. We are between McMinnville and Biola on the highway at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. On normal times, we have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you again the parable of the Good Samaritan, and I'll be reading from the American Standard Version that was printed in 1901. And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 30 we read, "Jesus made an answer and said, 'A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who both stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance a certain priest was going down that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And in like manner a Levite also, when he came to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion, and came to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine. And he set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow he took out 2 shillings, and gave to them the host, and said, "Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come back again, I will repay thee. Which of these 3, thinkest thou, proved neighbor to him that fell among robbers?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Jesus said unto him, "Go, and do thou likewise." Jesus answered the lawyer's question by this parable. It is not stated who this certain man was, but since he went from Jerusalem, it's probably that he was a Jew. In fact, too, that Jesus showing the lawyer and others as well as his Jewish brethren or his neighbors leads to the conclusion that this man was a Jew. Jericho was 18 or 20 miles northeast from Jerusalem, near where Israelites crossed the Jordan, and it was the city whose walls fell down by faith after they had been compassed about for 7 days, Hebrews 11 and verse 30. It was literally down from Jerusalem. Since the descent is about 3,500 feet in this short distance, being a deep and desolate mountain pass, made this a difficult road to travel. It was infested with thieves and robbers. It is considered dangerous yet to travelers and protected by guards. The traveler of our lesson fell among robbers, who both stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. But by chance a certain priest was going that way from Jerusalem to Jericho. The priests were the descendants of Aaron of the tribe of Levi, whose duty it was to make offerings for the people. It was also their duty to teach the people, by precept and example, the true worship of God. We read about this way back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. And then late in the nation of Israel's history, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, we read that the people went astray because there was no teaching priest. The law of God required mercy to beast of burden as well as to suffering humanity. We read this in Exodus 23, 4 and 5, and Deuteronomy 22, 1 through 4. Even if it is the ox or the ass of your enemy, you are to show kindness not only to the beast, but also to the enemy. The priest ought to have been a good, merciful, and holy man. But this one was destitute of all such characteristics. He saw the robbed, naked, wounded, and suffering man lying helpless on the road, but passed by on the other side, leaving him unaided. The Levites were those who waited on the priest in the service of the temple. We read about their duties in Leviticus chapter 3, 5 through 10, and how that they were taken in lieu of the firstborn of the children of Israel in Leviticus 3, verses 11 through 13. And like the priest, they should have known and practiced the law, not just in the letter, but also in the spirit, and should have been an example of those who would show kindness unto men. But this Levite, like the priest, saw the wounded sufferer and passed by him without assistance. Now the Samaritans, as we have already learned, were a mixed race and were looked upon by the Jews as enemies and dogs. For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans, John chapter 4 and verse 9. Yet this Samaritan had sympathy for the unfortunate traveler and was more willing to sacrifice for him and to help him, and showed more of the Spirit of God than the self-righteous priest and the Levite, according to their own interpretation of the law. Since this traveler was a Jew, they should have helped him as neighbors. If anyone had excuses for not helping him, that was this Samaritan, for whom the wounded Jew had no respect. But the Samaritan was moved with compassion. These different characters make this parable very forceful. The Samaritan went to the Jew and bound up his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine. He applied these remedies as he bound his wounds. Oil and wine were highly esteemed curatives and soothing remedies. The Samaritan then set the wounded man on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The inn here was more than a common caravansary, in which there was no room for Joseph and Mary when Jesus was born in Luke 2 and verse 7. This inn was a house for travelers kept by a host, somewhat like a hotel. This treatment of the wounded man by the Samaritan shows personal service, which required time and delay and expense. Personal attention requires more self-sacrifice and is more blessed than money put into the hands of others, or some committee, for instance. To bind up wounds and to dress sores and to spend the night with a suffering stranger requires self-denial and shows a willingness to suffer with another. No amount of money, no committee's aid, no aid societies can take the place of and bring us to the blessing of serving others ourselves. There's some work that simply cannot be done by proxy. The Samaritan nursed this man through the night, and on the morrow, realizing it was safe to leave him, he placed money in the hands of the host for further necessities. Not only so, but he requested the host to use more money if necessary, promising to replace it. 2 shillings were about 34 cents, but money then would buy many times as much as it will with us, and besides, that amount seemed all that was necessary. Now here is the application. which of these, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, prove neighbor to him that fell among robbers? Jesus shows by this not only who is our neighbor, but also what it is to love our neighbor as ourselves. In this way, he would break down also the wall of race or prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans and others. Any man is our neighbor. The Samaritan, though a stranger, was neighbor to the wounded Jew and did a neighbor's part by him. Jesus would bring together into one spiritual family the brotherhood of all nations on the earth. When Jesus said which of the three was the neighbors, the lawyer could make but one answer to Jesus' question, and there was but one to make, he that showed mercy on him. I think it's significant that the lawyer didn't say the Good Samaritan. He didn't mention the Samaritan at all. Perhaps the hardened prejudice in this lawyer could not bring him to compliment a Samaritan, but he did answer correctly when he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then the conclusion was supremely logical and irresistible. Go and do thou likewise. Thus the tempter fell into the pit he had dug for Jesus, and that lawyer was caught in his own trap. This is divine command to all. Now, this is love for men. Such service now on the part of those who claim to be Christians would reach the masses, open their ears to the truth, and make all men brothers. More than all such sympathy, self-sacrifice, and personal service would bring to us the greatest good. We are blessed as we bless others. That brings to conclusion of the notes that Elam made on this story of the Good Samaritan. But there's two other things that I have learned along the way that I would like to bring out. Look at the three attitudes expressed by those in this story. There's the attitude of the robber who said, "What is yours is mine, if I can get it." And then there's the attitude of the priest and the Levite who said, "What is mine is mine, if I can keep it." But then there's that attitude of that Good Samaritan who said, "What is mine is yours if you need it." And that certainly is the attitude we ought to have toward all the blessings God has given us. For God has blessed us for the very purpose that we might have, that we might be able to bless others. There's another thing I've learned along the way concerning this parable. The lawyer asked the question, "Who is my neighbor?" And there's a sense in which Jesus answered his question. But really, by this story, he turned the question around. And the lawyer should have left with this thought in mind. Not so much, "Who is my neighbor?" But the question is, "Whose neighbor are you?" And that's the question we need to ask. Whose neighbor am I? And when I see my fellow man in need, I know that I need to come to his assistance and to be his neighbor. Now that's going to bring this Sunday school lesson to a close. The next Sunday school lesson follows in the text of Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. So go ahead and open your Bible to that, and we'll read just for a moment, though our time is almost up. But let me read just beginning, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and I'll get to the end of Luke 10, where it says, "They went on their way. He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And she came up to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Remember that, and we'll return in the next class session when you hear that bell and start our studies in Luke chapter 11.